been, well, nah.
Live what, Mark?
Can you get on with this, please?
Come on, we're tired. Everyone's tired. Come on, Mark.
Speed it up. Hey.
I learned from Calgary how to waste time like assholes. It's a Vocal Minority Podcast.
Raise your voice.
Finally.
Jesus.
I'm going to try and stretch out this opening bit for like another 22 minutes.
Because our shows aren't long enough, you know.
I was going to try and stretch it out for another hour and 45 minutes, so then we'd be forced to end the podcast. Just like Calgary. You prick.
Shit happens that we never get past the entrance.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my cable. Well. Oh, my cable. Oh, no. Oh, no. My cable's hurt. Oh, no. I'm just trying to come up with like a related podcast possible.
Yes. Oh, don't shit.
Okay?
Yes. I'm sorry. I was on mute for the last 10 minutes. I didn't know. Yeah. Let me go back and try this again.
I'm sorry, Kristen. Did you want me to redo the intro? Did you want me to redo the intro?
Absolutely not.
Yellow card. Fucking. Anyway.
Anyway. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast. The podcast that would like to thank the Blue Jays for a wild playoffs and World Series run. We're sad for you, but as friend of the show, Frank, reminded me, this feels an awful lot like 2016. And then we all remember what happened in 2017. So.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic?
Yes.
I forgot there's other teams in Toronto sometimes.
I'm still traumatized from the pneumonia or whatever the hell it was we almost all got from that freaking match in 2016.
I'm traumatized that Fry could leap like that. I still think about that.
Exactly.
Fucking gazelle DNA injection, motherfucker.
Right.
I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure the syringe is out there.
I concur. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on this week's episode, we are going to catch up on the CanPL final situation. We'll see what happened in the first ever NSL playoff match. We are going to talk a little bit of MLS playoffs. I know. There's things. We'll talk about
that. They're thinging along.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some awards. There's some more awards. There's awards in various places. And a couple other things. It's not too much. It's just a little. It's fine. It'll be fine. And now to this week's panel. He has watched a match and he's very excited to talk about it. Please say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
I mean, I did say what? I mean, it was on.
By osmosis, you absorbed the information, Duncan. I believe in you.
There was a newspaper that needed to be read.
Were you doing the crossword again?
Well, obviously.
Oh, God, it was Sunday. You were doing the cryptic. Jesus Christ. Always
indeed. This attention needs to be paid.
You know? Definitely.
Can't be wasted on sports.
No.
Yeah. But anyway, time on sports.
The game was on. Yeah.
Lenny was watching it for you.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
He went to a match, and he doesn't actually really want to talk about it. Please say hello to Mark Hinckley.
Live and... What was it doing?
We did this bit back.
But Duncan, you see, I'm trying to waste all the time now.
So he never has to talk about it ever.
Right. We can just run out the show before we get to the Hamilton versus Calgary bit.
That's not going to happen, unfortunately, Mark. I love you dearly, but.
I'm sure.
What's going on in wrestling these days, Mark?
Oh no!
Well, what do you want to know?
Why are you pulling the Duncan string on Mark? That's just mean.
I have no idea what I might want to know or might not want to know.
I don't even know where to start, so it's fine.
Excellent. All right.
As for me,
I'm just trying to give you an hour after.
I didn't watch any soccer.
I appreciate it.
But I'm going to try to host the show anyway. I am your host, Kristen Knowles. And now to the show. All right. First up, everybody's favorite topic. KMPL, Hamilton versus Calgary.
Woo. Already? Are we at that part of the show?
Yeah. I'm sorry. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off. We're going to get it out of the way. And then we won't have to talk about it until the end when we talk about the final. And then you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I know that both of our listeners are dying to hear what I have to say, so it's fine. I appreciate you both, and I'm sorry about what I'm about to do. It's going to confuse you more than anything else.
That did not go as expected. At least not, I didn't expect the outcome that I finally saw on my way home from work on Sunday. I have barely even glanced at highlights. I really am going to just cede the floor to Mark and to Duncan. Duncan, who absorbed some of the game while doing a crossword. Mark, who was at the game.
Would rather have been doing a crossword. Yeah.
I know. I just...
I feel like it was all Calgary, really, from the bits that I was kind of seeing. And yeah, towards the end, Hamilton kind of got things going and forced a save or two, but yeah.
Like, if you distilled it down to its most exciting parts, you would be correct, Duncan. It didn't seem like Hamilton knew how to solve Calgary in the 18-yard box for shit. Like, and that's more of a credit to Calgary than it is a shot at Hamilton. Like, as soon as it got into that final third of the pitch, like, the best Hamilton could do would be, like, a cute 1-2-1 or a 1-2-3, and then the cross would go in, and somehow everybody knew where that ball was going because there'd be three white shirts jumping up surrounding the one orange shirt and be, okay, yeah, they didn't get it to that, or that one, or that one, or that one, or that one, or that. It was so many fucking crosses that were cleared by Calgary. It was annoying. So yeah, you would be correct that all the best bits were Calgary attacking or counterattacking, because Hamilton got caught with their pants down more than once. So the fact that it was only 1-0 is kind of a shock. But yeah, so you were saying before I go off my deep end, Duncan, please.
No, I didn't really have a lot more to say other than there. Seems like it was all Calgary.
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, that's right. I don't know what it's all about, but yeah, two home games, two defeats. It's quite the playoff run that you guys had there.
I was saying to one of my buddies, it was like probably like the 70th minute, 80th minute. Like, it was just Calgary was in full lockdown, and then shithousery with their one being up 1-0. And I turn and go, remember 5 years ago when we were like undefeated for most of the season? Because that was like September, right? Like, it was so fucking long ago that we were like, oh yeah, this we're undefeated season beaten. It's like, and then I said to somebody else, it was nice that Bobby managed to, you know, compact all the losses right at the end of the season. I think it comes down to, like, four losses, two draws, and a win in the last seven games or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like they collapsed under the weight of their own amazingness, I guess, which is hilarious.
Did they just tire themselves out? Like, did they literally just run out of game? Do you know what I mean? Like,
the game against Ottawa, it wasn't like they were sluggish and on fumes. They just got outplayed, and then, like Hamilton had for the first half. Aside from Calgary having two counterattacks, maybe it was three. The ball was in front of me the entire time, and I was in, like, I was looking at Carducci,
right,
and his band of misfits, fucking holding down their precious little. Their 18-yard box. I will confess right off the top is that after about, I don't know, half an hour of the game, I kind of muttered to my delightful wife, I really, really hope Hamilton, if they win this, like, I hope they win, but if they're down by one, I hope they don't tie it up. Because I don't want extra time. The sun went down and it got stupidly cold, okay?
Like, yeah.
It dropped like a good 8 degrees, and fair. I was not quite ready for that. And I don't think most of the stadium was either. Daylight saving time, you son of a bitch. So when it was 1-0, I'm like, please, like, don't tie this up. I'm exhausted. I'm football exhausted. I just want to go home. It was the weirdest feeling, like, not actively outright cheering against them, but it's like, just let this be the bullet and just put us down. And, you know, let's have a postseason for once where Hamilton's just not in the final, you know.
This is the first time, and yeah. That's like, that is,
it's crazy.
It is crazy. So this potentially, we will have a new champion this year.
I mean,
they've both done it before, but yeah.
Ottawa?
Ottawa won?
No. 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 Okay. Never mind. Yeah.
Like, it's, I suppose it's exciting, but I say suppose because fucking hate Calgary so much.
No.
Hate Calgary so much. For the record, their shithousery was spectacular. The highlight package could not possibly show this. Could not possibly show it. But it truly was a masterclass in how to overwhelm a Canadian referee. Cause like my favorite part was they were stalling to take was a free kick? Yeah, there was a Hamilton had a corner kick. And they were stalling taking the kick. And then the ref's like, you know, hurry up. And obviously then somebody got a yellow card for time wasting. And then they went over to the ref to complain about the time wasting. The referee had to be the most gullible fucking person I've ever seen in my life. They eat like they're between two guys rolling around on the pitch. Surely legitimately hurt. And about two or three yellow cards that took place in the 8 minutes of injury time. The ref blew the whistle on 8 minutes.
What?
Like, holy shit. Like, and I was conflicted because I also did not want Calgary to win this because I hate them and they're bastards. And I saw it with my own eyes in front of me. But I also want to go home. Like, I was fucking cold. And I was incensed. I was absolutely incensed at how mediocre the officiating had to have been, where all of this action takes place in the extra time and gave no extra time within the extra time.
That's so weird.
I might be exaggerating how many events took place, but there was at least one rolling on the field, and then I believe it was two. And there was at least two yellow cards, and I believe it was three. It was just, like, it was such a fucking clown show. Like, just absolute, like, full marks to Calgary. They deserve the win. They deserve to go on. Hamilton's squandered whatever. I'm not even mad at Hamilton's inability to get it done twice in a row. Remember when they were undefeated? So,
totally.
The officials, like, it just made me so mad. Like, I was absolutely, like, I know you could hear, I know they could hear me on the field because there were people about 20 rows down who were looking back at me yelling, watching me yell. Like, just, they heard.
I mean, you do have a commanding voice when you want to.
Oh yeah, Marcus. Like even at most people who have heard me at a game have not heard me at 10 out of 10. I get to about 7 or 8 and I can cut through a crowd. But I've never gone full, and I was close to going to full because I was so confused at how shit that was. Like, just utterly shit. Like again, I know I've already said it like five times, but fuck you, Calgary. But having the most naive official to your advantage, I mean, I guess that's a move too, you know? There's a part of me that's glad that the season's over. And like, we're qualifying for Europe. We're already like, we're in that. That's fine. Gator, he came up to me at halftime and go, is there a possibility that we could be drawn against another KMPL team? And I started laughing at the that we get drawn against fucking Vancouver. We could have MLS teams and Mexican teams and that one Costa Rican team that always gets that eighth spot, sons of bitches. And yep. We're getting fucking Vancouver. The cold. Fall. But no, I don't think they actually... distribution of clubs and countries that I believe they purposely keep same leagues in the first round away from each other. So, but it was really funny to think that we would like, are you really going to go freeze your balls off for Vancouver FC? No, you do that for fucking, do that for Club America. You do that for
Pachuca.
And Carl made a great point. He's like, I want an MLS side. He's like, yeah, you know, we haven't really had one for Champions League. Or the
Cup. I mean, this is like the one instance in which you do want that, you know, yeah, like kinda, for you know, as TFC fans as well. It's always like, ugh.
I mean,
Columbus.
Yes,
Miami? Colorado. Sure.
But would I take Colorado? I'll take fucking anybody, just not the Whitecaps. I just don't. I want to see somebody else.
No, never the fucking Whitecaps.
I want to see somebody else. That's all it is, right? I want to see whoever will move the fewest tickets possible because of who they are. I want them.
So you want Colorado is what you
want. Colorado. I want San Diego. I want.
Oh no. Charlotte. San Diego, hot.
I don't know
right
who
now.
I know some of the teams have already qualified, but like, I mean, it sucks because some of them are like, oh, they're going to bring a star. Great.
Yeah.
But I also, but there's going to be one or two other teams that don't do that. And I want one of those. So anyway, unfortunate way to end a season. Really, 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 really disappointing given that you had two cracks to get to the final and you fucked them both. And you're the first place team. Well done.
Yeah.
So, back to you in the studio, Kristen.
Thanks, Marcus.
I still think that they should go for just nail down that fifth place and then just win all the away games. That should be the goal next year. Legitimately.
God, I like, honestly, that like for the purposes of like legendary status, of course. If you, You know how the rest of the league hates Hamilton because of everything?
Yeah.
This would be this is the last thing we could do to make everybody pissed off at us. We have won the championship in almost every condition the league has oriented and reoriented, whether it's a bubble, whether it's a new playoff format, whether it's something like, oh, this is the first season, whatever, we've done them all. Now we run the gauntlet to win it. My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The level of hatred, like once this team finally becomes dog shit, that hatred's not going to go away. Like it's just going to be, we're hanging out with Windsor and Winnipeg and, you know, we're just hanging out with them and Kelowna and Saskatoon.
And Kelowna. Yeah.
And St. Catharines, like we're hanging out with them. They're going to be like, you guys used to be good, you pieces of shit. And it's like, yeah, that was us once. I remember when. But we did that whole gauntlet thing, so fuck all y'all. You can never take that from us. Never. So, I do appreciate the goal, Duncan.
Just play the kids a lot and just kind of like manage it so that it's like, you know, it's like, oof, we're up to third or fourth. Okay, let's lose these next two games. Let's kind of make sure. And, you know, you drop down to sixth. All right, you actually try for a couple of games and then just, you know, really focus
on the fifth place spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the funniest, the oddest thing, just one last thing I want to, you're saying playing the kids, and this is what triggered me to remember this. It's very strange to see both Borges and Schwanier the Greater be substitutes. And especially like
I was really surprised.
KPL big game Charlies, like, and they're your substitutes.
Yeah.
Like, you guys could not find a fucking spot for them in the starting 11. I don't know. And there was a part of you, like, obviously when Schwanier came on, it's like, five touches and the ball goes in. Like, that's what I wanted. I wanted him to be like the big game maestro that I've been kind of accustomed to seeing from him, not his brother. Am I right? I can throw a shot at him. I will do it every time. Like, it was just so weird. So, like, when you say play the kids, it's like, oh yeah, those guys aren't kids really anymore. So do they really want to sit on the bench for this fifth place experiment? Sure, why not? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm done, I promise.
No, it's all right. If something else crops up later on the show, have at.
I'll just edit it in awkwardly.
Okay. Anyway, for the first time in KPL history, Hamilton will not be in the final. So, admittedly, it's still a short history, but it's a little something different. It's a little something different. So, when we talk about the final,
this league now is in second grade, so it's not a little thing anymore. This kid can this league can walk, talk, tie its own shoes, go to the washroom on its own.
And
this is practically big kid stuff.
Almost, yeah. Get to move to the big kid playground soon. Oh man, cool. Or did everyone else's school have that? Did you have two playgrounds? Like we had.
We school in Hamilton. Our school was so small. Our basketball court was probably half the size of a regular basketball court. Wrap your head around that.
That's interesting. Mm. Now it's so funny because I went my
school had probably about like maybe 60 kids for like grade one through grade six, essentially.
Holy shit.
Elementary school. So yeah, we only had one playground.
Okay.
I mean, there was like a sort of kind of like concrete-y playground and then an actual field.
Oh, so field.
But you know, you couldn't really go on the field and maybe, you know, like the first 2 weeks of the year, the school year, and then like the last month. So effectively just one.
That's so interesting. Like, cause I went to public school in Peterborough and in London, but Peterborough, the two schools I went to there, one of them just had like a massive, like the most wonderful, one of the most wonderful playgrounds ever concocted. It was huge. And we had a huge hill out back that we used to toboggan down in the winter. We had like so much cool playground equipment and like things that had been installed, like wooden posts that were a fence, but also people would like, you know, you'd run across. Anyways, it was very, very cool. But in my other school, we had two distinct playgrounds. There was what we called jail, which was the fenced off area that had the teeter totters and the swings and some of those, other, you know, like the rocket playground thing that you climbed on and stuff, a little bit of grass and a little bit of tarmac, but up until a certain grade, that was where you had to hang out unless you got special permission to go out into the big wide world, which was the huge tarmac area that had all the four squares, that had the big monkey bars, and that had, we had like my one public school, we had a baseball diamond. And we actually had two baseball diamonds, but we just had so much green space. There was actually at one point in time, there was areas of the green space that were off limits because it was so far from the school that the teachers were like, we cannot keep an eye on you out there. Therefore, you can't go out there for recess because it's too far.
We want to hang around the entrance and smoke. We don't want to be chasing you guys around there.
Pretty much,
yeah.
But like, and then I'm trying to think in London,
Like we had a pretty big open area, but it was, that was always a very, well, cause it was, yeah, it was, again, there was a lot of green space and there was the, I don't know. But yeah, in Peterborough, it just seemed like every public school just had room around it. And, you know, Peterborough's a small town, right? Relatively. So, but yeah. But yeah, we called that, it was jail because you weren't allowed out until you were in grade four. Is it grade four? I think grade four was the magical year of freedom to get to go with the big kids. But yeah. What brought me to that again? Does anyone remember?
Playing the kids, small classes.
I have no idea where that thread came from.
The Campiel being a 6-year-old now, or right, a 7-year-old.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Grade two. Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good job, Duncan. Appreciate that.
So that nearly was... ready to go out into the Gen Pop playground.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah, basically. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of a league that is still in kindergarten, the NSL in their first year.
They barely came out the womb. Come on.
Pre-K? Will you accept year one? Nursery school.
A daycare.
They're still hanging out at home with like somebody who's on paternity leave.
Yeah, no.
Maternity leave, paternity, whichever.
Eternity leave. One of them.
One of those things. So the NSL had their first ever playoff match on the weekend. AFC Toronto journeyed to Montreal to play the Roses at Stade Boreal, and in the first match of the two-legged semifinal ties, Vancouver and Ottawa will play tomorrow night, day after recording, as we talked about last week. And Toronto continues its winning ways. In fact, they had this game locked down within 7 minutes, because that's when they scored the first goal and they won this match 2-0. So it was light work, basically, for them. I am delighted for Toronto to have that advantage going into the home match this coming week. But I admit, like we talked about last week, we sort of assumed that Montreal would, you know, they would probably, you know, that Montreal would at least get a goal in here somewhere, right? So like Toronto comes home with, you know, all the advantages, right? So again, it was a good crowd from the looks of it. But yeah, Toronto just seems to be hitting on all cylinders right now. The follow-up match is, yeah, they play on Saturday, I believe. They're on Sunday. Wait, is that right? That seems weird. Did I put them in the rundown incorrectly? Because I thought it was... Oh, no, it is. Oh, so that's interesting. So the Ottawa-Vancouver, they get short rest or shorter rest in between their two matches. Whereas Toronto-Montreal just, you know, get to laze around for a good chunk of the week. Because, Vancouver hosts Ottawa tomorrow night. And then the return leg is Saturday in Ottawa. And then, yeah, Toronto-Montreal don't play again until Sunday afternoon. That's interesting. I didn't even
That's kind of odd.
Yeah. Really? Huh. I'm assuming stadium available. Oh, right.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Goes.
No, the Canada Cup final is in Ottawa.
The women's game Sunday. Is on the Saturday, second leg.
Right. Wow. Yes. And, yes.
Yeah. So, oh, right. Sorry.
Who books this shit?
Oh, no.
You know, if Forge had just done it properly, it wouldn't have been an issue.
It wouldn't have been a problem. And everyone would have had slightly more equal rest. Oh, yeah. Man.
Okay, well, anyway. Anyway, again, Toronto continue to dominate. Congratulations to them in their victory in their away leg. It has felt like a foregone conclusion that they're going to make it to the final. I think for some time, just based on the quality of their play this season, right? So, and to have a decisive win away against Montreal is, you know, it's a good sign for the next match. But you know, Montreal has some weapons too, so anything is possible, but all right. Congratulations, Toronto, on the first win. We will see what happens tomorrow night between Vancouver and Ottawa. So don't forget, day after recording, but the match is on at 10. And I believe that one is on TSN, I think. Or is that one on CBC?
10 in the morning? The evening?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Okay.
Yes, it's TSN. It's a TSN match tomorrow night. So easily accessible, easy to watch. You should, if you happen to be up, you should give it a go. Watch some NSL playoff goodness. It's good for you. So there. Okay. Speaking of the women's game, the U17s, we briefly mentioned, had been enjoying a decent run through the U17 Women's World Cup, which has sadly come to an end in the quarterfinals against Brazil. After a 0-0 draw, they lost 5-4 on penalties. So close. But credit to Canada for withstanding what seemed to be an onslaught from the Brazilian side. Outshot 22-6.
Good Lord. That's too much.
I mean, that's a lot. And for the match to end in, you know, regulation time to end 0-0, right? Like, just to have to go to penalties.
What?
Yeah. You know, in Canada, you know, they were undefeated in their group. Just scoring, like I said, scoring at will. 18-2 was their, you know, record to get into the corners, and then just came up against a Brazilian side and the penalties just did not fall their way. And but you know what, it is it's very encouraging to see this much talent at the youth level. You know, we've certainly been talking a little bit about the XNT and you know, whether Casey Stoney should be looking more seriously at the younger crop of players, especially seeing their performance through the U17 World Cup. But it is too bad to see it end that way, considering their performance in the group stage. But also, again, heartening to have this sort of quality to build upon. So anyway, congratulations on a very exciting group stage, and sadness at coming up against Brazil, you know, just of course, right? So, well, let's move on to what we're talking about. And we are going to start with MLS because we're just going to get that out of the way. Playoffs.
How'd that happen?
They're still in the first annoying round, but there are some things.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Way to think this one through, guys. You're doing so good.
But at least one has been decided, and that is Vancouver versus Zombie Sheevus.
Wow.
Which, you know, which team that we dislike, you know, which team do we dislike more? I just don't. Like, Miami is obviously the answer, and go Nashville, but because that series is tied 1-1. They have to finish off on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Go Nashville, yes. Yeah. There are three series that have been decided. Philly have also beat Chicago, and LA, yeah, LAFC have. Oh, I see what you're meaning. They're what the next round match.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So three teams have advanced, but yes. Yeah.
Right. So gotcha. Sorry. Yep.
That's okay. No.
I do like though that it's like November 22nd or something. Like, oh, yeah. You got 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Just relax.
It's ooh, just like
you guys are excited. That, hey, yeah, we won this game. We won these two games. What's up next? Yeah, 3 weeks.
International break is what's up next. Like that's the stupid thing about all these playoffs is like, oh, we're interrupting the playoffs for the international. Just like, yeah, of course you are. Of course you
was
are.
Was this bracket designed by Calgary? Because it sucks and it's shit.
No. But didn't this happen wasting last year my time. Or the year before too? We were like, oh, good. These are the playoffs that never fucking end. And part of that, a big part of that, is because the MLS is an American league, and we must have all of the playoffs humanly possible. And then extra because we probably didn't think about enough playoffs. So, like. It's just so dumb.
Yep.
And like, so one series, is it the only one that is? Yes. Yeah, so there's a match tonight because Seattle and Minnesota.
They're still in their second game.
McMahon. This is their second game is tonight. So go Minnesota just because fuck Seattle. But like, oh my God. And then they'll have to play on the weekend if Minnesota doesn't triumph this evening. Because everything else is being played. Oh God, there's a match on Friday. Jesus Christ. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Just to spread it out more. Probably for whatever reason. Anyway, MSL playoffs just are endless and annoying. But Philadelphia has advanced. Vancouver is going up against Zombie Sheevus in the next round. And then who knows? So we'll tell you more next week. But go Nashville. Go Minnesota.
Go Portland.
I guess. Just to dull the shine off of the historic expansion run of San Diego. Portland.
Yeah, we remember St. Louis. It wasn't that long ago, guys. Calm down. You're not special. You're not.
And then I guess the only, you know, and Mike, when you listen to this, please feel free to like comment. How you doing with this Cincinnati Columbus? Are you wearing both kits all the time?
Frankenstein jersey yet? Where it's
exactly
half-half?
That's kind of, and if you have, can we see pictures, please? Yeah,
and we won't share them with anybody, but we will giggle.
We will indeed.
100% giggle.
We will indeed. So yeah, that's been kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, the MLS Cup is on December 6th, by the way. It's a month away. A month.
Hey, we should move this to a winter schedule. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to play football in December? The answer will be everyone.
Oh no. All right. So that's the current MLS playoff picture. A couple other things. They're MLS related. A couple of awards. Only two. There's many awards in MLS. Campiel is trying to match them for number of awards, but MLS still. But there's two that we're gonna just mention this evening. And one, speaking of Minnesota, McMahon, is Sweet Dane St. Clair wins MLS Goalkeeper of the Year.
Yeah.
I am delighted for him. As you all know, I am a huge fan of Dane St. Clair's, have been for years, and this just makes me so happy. Congratulations, Dane. Well deserved. I'm just so happy for you. And I'm happy for Minnesota. It's great. Red Loons. Go Red Loons. Mm-hmm. That's the supporters group. We just like to support the supporters group.
Yeah.
Best and supporters group out there. Yes, it is the best supporters group out there. Sorry, not sorry, TFC supporter groups. Yeah, congratulations to him. This is great. And he really has, he's really had a really great season. So yay. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to mention who was the comeback player of the year?
I'm doing that next.
Oh, okay. Cause there are other, I can't tell if there's they've only announced five, or that's because their shitty website only shows me five, and I can't. There's no way for me to click more to see the rest.
I clicked more, and I could only see like three or four things, and I just gave up. And I was like, "These are the only two really that I care about."
Yeah, so. Everybody else don't matter. Sorry, Tristan Blackman.
Yeah, I know. I was like, "Congratulations, good job defending."
Yeah, woo!
Hey,
awesome job, bro. Yep. Whatever.
You know, that's nice. We previously mentioned that Richie Larea had been nominated as comeback player of the year, but triumphant with basically most of the media vote big time is what the media vote and the club vote, I guess, is what put it over the top for him. The Slam and Salmon, Nick Haglund.
Wow.
Coming back from really like he was quite injured. What was interesting was that also one of his kids was injured as well. So if you do not follow Nick Haglund on Instagram, do so. It is one of the best things you can do just for joy, because he is a delight. On Instagram, he's a goofball, and he's a goofball with his kids. And he would do these videos with his daughter, who was also injured, both of them in their casts and stuff like that. Anyways, it is one of the best things. He and his family just seem super, super happy. And he's very open and giving with his followers and with his fans, but he's a silly biscuit, you know, and it comes through on social media. But congratulations. He's a
silly biscuit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I already put down a name for this episode, but Silly Biscuit.
Yeah.
Silly.
Have you never heard me say that? In all the years you've known me?
I don't think so.
I edit these things, Kristen. No. No, I have not.
Well, I didn't necessarily just mean on the show, but like we do spend time together.
We've opened boxes of animal crackers. You've never said it once.
That's true. We have opened animal crackers.
Before we keep laughing at this apparent thing you've been saying for years, but we've never heard once. Hey, Duncan, you know who Nick Haglund joins on the hallowed list of comeback player of the year winners?
Landon Donovan.
No, but
Michael Bradley.
No, you're getting warmer weirdly. that plucky story of David Beckham in 2011.
I was just gonna say, what the hell?
Right, yes.
That
underdog story of Clint fucking Dempsey. In 2017, American Messi Jordan Morris is on this list. Ooh. Bradley Wright Phillips is on this list. You remember how
TFC coach Chris Armas is on this
list. Yeah, he's on the Tony Meola was the first one.
Tony Meola. Yeah.
Branching.
I do remember that actually.
Yeah, it's just Gonzalo Higuain in 2022. Like, I mean, for I guess star power, good for you, Hagelin. For likability, you were needed on this list.
Yes, 100%. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some interesting names on here.
I know, kind of don't surprise me. This is, you know, he's got at least a 10-year career in MLS right now.
So, yeah, sure.
Okay. I mean, there has been a lot of expansion since he started, so it makes it a little bit easier, but still, that in itself is, like, oh, good for you. But, and, you know, he's coming back from injuries and what have you. That's delightful. Good for
it
him.
It is. Sure. I am, yeah, like I said, for both of these, like, I am truly... Yes, like I can't ever be mad at Nick Hagelin. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, yes, please continue to have an awesome life. Like, good for you. I'm super happy for you. I just, yeah, it's impossible not to like him. More awards, Campiel awards, more awards revealed, as we mentioned last week, because they like to dribble them out a little bit at a time before the official awards ceremony at still, I don't think they've announced the location, in Ottawa for all of the, you know, the Campiel final festivities this weekend, which will be broadcast in exciting, I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say exciting color, like color was a new thing or something, but I don't
3D,
know.
3D?
3D? Ooh, maybe 3D. All right, Coach of the Year.
Are we going to get one of those like cartoon games, or where it's like Nickelodeon just like transfers the game into a cartoon, like pretty much live?
Fun.
Sure. Yes.
I would love that.
That would be okay. See, that's one of the good uses of AI. There's very few of them. Turning a sport into fucking live action cartoon.
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
Let's do that. I'll take that.
I'll take two of those, please.
Yes, please. Delightful. Coach of the Year. So we've got Mauro Stacchio. It's not really a surprise. Diego Mejia and Bobby.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know.
When did this get voted on?
That's a good question, Duncan.
Yes. So as they say,
I feel like potentially Bobby could win this.
For the CPL's Coach of the Year award is based on performances during the 2025 regular season, not including the TELUS Canadian Championship, CONCACAF Champions Cup, or the 2025 CPL playoffs action.
Oh, Bobby wins. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I think it's Mejia's to lose.
That was some good broadcasting voice, Kristen. Yeah, well done.
That was very professional.
Every now and again, I can pull it out. I have one.
Very
so.
Professional. What's funny is, like, you know, I could make an argument for Diego Mejia. I could make a pretty good argument for Mauro Stacchio. But none of those guys went 25 games or whatever it was.
I know.
So, like, to be honest, if Campiel is going to keep up with the tradition of making this really funny to me, Mauro Stacchio wins. Because, like, isn't Diego Mejia, isn't this his first year? Is this his first year, or was he there last year? I don't remember.
I think this is his first year. Question mark. Yeah. No. Shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
I do feel it's very harsh on the Vancouver guy that, Voyageurs Cup doesn't count. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Martin Nash. Too bad.
Yeah.
You've had your chances, plural.
Yeah, it's his first year.
Like, sure. And, I mean, Ottawa is well-stocked, and they're well coached. Like, I say they're well stocked because they've got talent, but they also did it with a bunch of children and were still killing everybody. And Sam Stalter became a fucking thing this year.
Yep.
And he was he was with Halifax, for fuck's sakes. It's like, it's crazy to think that Halifax was sitting on the future single season goal scoring record holder. Like, that's crazy to me. And you can't do that without you know, good management. But none of them went 27 games. Every time I mention it, I'm going to ask you, by the way.
I know. Yeah. Like,
you know, like, did Mauro Stacchio get 31 games undefeated? No, he did not. Did Mea get 35? No, he did not. Bobby's got 72 games undefeated. It's crazy. Yeah, I personally, I would love to see not Bobby win it because it's just so fucking funny. Like if you don't cry, if you don't laugh, you cry type thing, right?
Yeah.
Just because he's only won it once. Like,
that's, I know,
fucking horrific to me. So let's keep that gravy train going. Let's the fun train. Choo choo. You finish second somehow.
Oh yeah, it makes absolutely, like, I won't be surprised if Bobby wins. At
for sure, for sure.
But I also won't be surprised if Mejia wins. I think Eustachio winning. I really think it's between Bobby and Diego personally. And I think the one thing, yes, the magical undefeated run, that is huge, and that is hugely in Bobby's favor, and they finished first and all of those things. But the, you know, the thing, one of the things that we did talk about a lot this year was Ottawa's use of youth players and being incredibly successful while doing it, while most of the rest of the league, sorry, Seagulls, you know, just do it because they have to, not as a matter of part of their game plan. And I think that's where I think he might pit Bobby for the prize. We'll see. Obviously, we'll see on Friday. But yeah. Interesting stuff, right?
Yep.
Still doesn't say where they're holding it. Just they'll be broadcast at ceremonies on Friday. It's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. So before we started recording, we were talking about the awards and the player of the year. And because, again, like MLS, in which we must have as many awards as possible, there's the CanPL player of the year, but then there's the players player of the year. So it's a lot of players of the year options floating about. So the players player of the year recognizes the best players as judged by their peers. Each CanPL player is asked to provide a 3-man shortlist. Da 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 da. You cannot vote for yourself or for a teammate. So for the players player of the year, here are your 10 nominees. Yes, 10. Julian Altobelli, not a surprise. Nana Mpoma, I don't think that's really a surprise. I don't think any of these are actually, these all make sense to me for the most part.
They're all on board.
Manny Aparicio, Kyle Becker, whatever. I know. Correct. Thiago Coimbra, Ali Moussi. Daniel Nimick, who's getting nominated for everything. So Daniel Nimick right now is nominated for 3 different awards. He doesn't get any of them.
He's nominated for so many things. I clearly either do not appreciate his contribution or I do not understand his contribution. He is a very good defender. I don't know if he's one of the 10 best players in this league.
He's nominated for fucking everything. Player. He's nominated for Defender of the Year. He's nominated. Anyway, so Daniel Nimick, David Rodriguez, Sam Salter, of course, and Balu Tabla, of course, right? So those are your 10 player choices.
Okay. So, like, for just about Nimick, like, going back to the Defender of the Year, like, again, I obviously don't appreciate it, but if Rezart Rahma is also nominated for Defender of the Year,
which
it has to go to the other guy. Like, it has to go.
Like, I know Abatna is going to, like, just, like, swoop in and be like, mine.
Like, maybe everyone's just going, well, they were undefeated for so long. Obviously, they didn't, like, sure, I guess that's a measure. But, you know, you could also just go, it was a team effort. Call of Lat was very good. There's other things. I just, like, Rama is still chaos. And anyway, Nimic, if he's the best defender, sure, but I don't know if he's one of the 10 best is what basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was so funny. Cause you know, his name just keeps cropping up.
He'd be 10th on this list. Like everyone else, I would have them higher. If I had to pick, I figure it's either going to go to Salter or Tabla. Salter for the goals, but Tabla did so much good work. Rodriguez did so much good work.
I know. Rodriguez, like
Aparicio had a fabulous season.
Yes. 100%.
But like that machine up top was ridiculous. Ridiculous. Like, it's like, can all four of them win that trophy? I would be at peace with that. Like, they all go up and, you know, here, you hold one part of the muskox, and like all four of them lift it over their head. I would be totally okay with that, because as a quadrumvirate, is that a thing? As a four man, that's ridiculous. Like, they are ridiculously good. But anyway, like,
I know.
If I was going to say a top three, as Salter, Tabla, and I'd actually throw in Moosey. I can't stand him because he plays for Calgary, who I can't stand, but he had like a highlight reel moment in almost every game, and that's fucking crazy too.
His name came up over and over and over again. I know. A lot. And like, Julian Altobelli deserves to be here, but
for sure.
He was so hot and cold this season. Like, he started out this, like, he tapered off too much at the end of the year. Like, if he'd kept scoring or kept contributing the way he had early on in the season or in the first two thirds of the season, there's a good chance he could wrap this up as well. But I don't think he's in the running. Some really good players. So I appreciate that their peers recognize them. Although Kyle Becker, whatever. Yes, we all know that Kristen doesn't like Kyle Becker. It's fine. Does anybody
like him? Yeah, it's strange given that you love Forge and you hate Kyle Becker. It's so polarizing.
So polarizing. Yes, I know. I
understand.
So there's that. And then we have the CanPL Player of the Year, which is decided by club technical leadership and media voting, which will also be announced at the – everything gets announced. So the five nominees for the CanPL Player of the Year, David Rodriguez, Sam Salter, Sergio Carmargo, Kyle Becker, and Daniel Nimic.
It's weird seeing that Carmago's on this list and he's not on the 10.
Well, again, see, this is media and clubs. Yeah, I know. Yeah, the players don't like him. I don't know.
Yeah, this tells me the media doesn't watch it. yeah, like, it's... I would like to see... Salter win this one and Rodriguez win the other one. You know what I mean? I think that would be apropos. One of them winning both would be very, very sad, I think. A missed opportunity to shine how good that top four was all season long.
But I, again, like I said, I just laughed when I saw Daniel Nimic again. I was like, oh, of course. Like, is there a way he can be nominated for something else? Oh, he's too old to get nominated for the U21, you know. So, well,
maybe he'll get it for the U27 award. I hear he finished fourth in the keeper standing, so it was impressive.
Actually, for the U21, which I didn't put in the show notes, but I was glancing at, the Seagulls finally get somebody in the noms, and that's Bah.
Hooray.
Gets he's one of the noms for that. Noah Botna, Gabriel Antonara, Thiago Coimbra, and Jose Masinda. So all very good candidates
for that, right? So but yeah, I was like, oh, Daniel Nemec's too old to get that. Get
yeah, nominated sorry, for that. Grandpa.
It's so funny. But I think for that one, I think it's probably going to Abatna. I think based on what Ottawa did with youth players, and he was a standout. So, yeah. So yes, these are some of the varied and many CanPL award nominees. Do you think Kyle Becker gets either of the Player of the Year awards?
No.
Not this year.
No.
He's won before, hasn't he?
Yes. He's been very good this season, but I don't see him as the best in this league.
Yeah. He's consistent.
He's consistent.
And he's their consistency, captain and all those things, right?
His consistency is a little off from previous. Like last season, no question. I wouldn't even dare to think of anybody else. Legitimately, he was that good. But if, say, 9 out of 10 passes went exactly where he wanted it last year, it's 7, which is still very, very good. But yeah. There are players who are playing about that level or better. So, like, that's why I can't say with a straight face, yes, does he deserve to be on the 10 person list? Sure, why not? But is he one of the best 3? I don't think so. Not this season. But he's still up there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Duncan, any?
But yeah, I would agree. Kyle Becker, no. Yeah, do I think I really sort of paid enough attention to say exactly who it should be? Probably not. But Kyle Becker, no. That's my main comment on this one.
Yeah, really. No, I think, but I concur with my esteemed colleague. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. More CanPL stuff. As we mentioned last week, FC Supra has been doing some hiring, or really doing some announcing of the CS Saint Laurent staff that they've officially brought over now.
Oh, so they're getting Sigmund over there, I see.
Yes. Oh, no, 100%. No, we knew this really from the announcement. I expect that we will see several Saint Laurent players as well once they start doing player announcements. But the sporting director and head of ops is Mateo Cabanades. And the coach is Nick Rizzaghi. That's how we say his name, right?
Sure. Rizzaghi?
It looks right.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah.
I accept this.
I felt good about Cabanades, so I'm going to just like take a flyer on Rizzaghi. And then Nick DeSantis, that's not a surprise that he's involved. He's the executive advisor, but it's these two guys coming directly over from Saint Laurent. And again, not surprised at all that they brought him over as coach. I actually would have been shocked if they hadn't. And then Mateo, who's also been involved. So like this just makes sense because literally they are building this club. Yeah. Similar to Hamilton on Sigma. This is a very similar model. And so that will actually really sort of add, depending, to see how they come out of the gate, right? Because they are, very stated that, from here for here, that they're going to be recruiting and signing players, from Quebec and from the area. And obviously they're going to have Saint Laurent players on their squad. And this is, again, when Hamilton started, fully half the team was Sigma, right? More than half? Like, it was basically, oh, hello, Sigma.
Yeah. If it half of them were from their first team, and I think the other half were graduates.
Yeah. So
familiar.
And I think this will be a similar situation. So that will be really interesting in terms of the evolution of the club, because we see it is one of the things that is good about Hamilton, but also incredibly annoying about Hamilton. Not just the rule bending, that's a whole other thing, but the almost blind loyalty to Bobby. And that has been part of their success, but is also incredibly irritating, and what makes them a target. You'll be curious to see if we have a similar situation with Supra. So I'm very curious about all of this, but again, not surprised at all. And it makes very good sense to have the Saint Laurent brain trust brought over, because basically that was what everyone was saying. Why don't you just make Saint Laurent the next Campiel team? And they're just building it on Saint Laurent instead. So yeah, it'll be very interesting, but I think these are excellent choices, and they have them announced and set in place, before the end of the Campiel season. So that's important. To me, it's a good move. I would not have, I try not to, I don't know enough about a lot of coaches to be able to say yay or nay, but this is very logical and makes a ton of sense. And I think will help with their initial entry into the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. It makes sense, really. All right. You've got this team here that you can be kind of like building off, same as Hamilton with Sigma, and a similar kind of idea. Who knows if it'll work or not, but it makes sense as a base to start building from.
I mean, it's a proven method, and I kind of feel like, to be fair, it's not like teams can just after two or three seasons say, screw this, everyone's getting fired and we're just going to go and pluck name of elite senior League One team here. You've set the course, and now you're down the river. Like Calgary came close to it, just same kind of principle at the front, but nobody else came close to copying the Forge blueprint, if you want to call it that, on how to start a club, like where to start at a club. And I kind of hope that there is a, not for history, but like say resume, a Kyle Becker-esque player that's just kind of on the fringe of, they play abroad, but they would really like to come back. And if they could pluck one of those guys who says like, oh yeah, we forgot that you exist, and just lights up the league for 3 years, 4 years. I want that story too. In addition to the idea of CS Saint Laurent now ready for prime time. That's also a fantastic story. So
yep.
This is so far all the moves that they're making seem to be in line with, at the very least, a semi-successful first season. And I say at the very least. Like that's where the bar is, and they can easily soar over this. Now it's just player acquisition, and what does that look like?
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting. I'm just so excited to finally have a team from Quebec. Like,
for sure.
So excited. It's going to be, anyway.
Just need a couple more now.
Yes. Yes, double digits, please.
So close.
So, all right. congratulations to everyone involved in FC Supra. This is good, good stuff. So, yay. Moving on to what's coming up. I know, we're already at that part. What?
Crazy.
So
live and
now
I don't want to stall.
No. So last week we did make predictions for tomorrow night, day after recordings, Vancouver v Ottawa leg out west. And then the return leg is this Saturday, 3 p.m. in Ottawa. And then Toronto host Montreal on Sunday at 2 p.m. General thoughts on this? I know it's hard to look at the Ottawa-Vancouver one without knowing the result of tomorrow night's match, but do you have any feelings, any spidey senses tingling about what might happen on Saturday?
Whoever wins on Tuesday will lose overall on Saturday.
Ooh, I like that.
Kind of spicy.
I enjoy this spice.
That's a good take.
That's a spicy meatball right there. I like it.
I'm sticking to whatever I said last week, which basically was Ottawa wins this thing. I don't see Vancouver showing up for two games.
Yeah, and one yes, two and no, maybe, and I agree.
Maybe one, but Ottawa is a very goal happy side, and Vancouver yep. has looked like they can hemorrhage goals like nobody's business at times.
Yeah.
So, I'm not. I think regardless of the outcome, I think Ottawa does go to the final.
I do too. I concur. And then Toronto versus Montreal on Sunday. I don't see Montreal getting back in. I really don't. Like, I hope they make a game of it. I was surprised that they did not get a goal on the weekend. I really was. I was expecting a closer match. But given that Toronto seems to have everyone that they want available to them health-wise, like Kaylee Hunter's back and everything, scored one of the goals, actually. So I think that, I don't know, Toronto just sort of feels unstoppable to me right now and has for some time. So I'm going to say Montreal, I'm going to say 2-1. Montreal's going to fight for it. They're going to get a goal, but Toronto 2-1 on Sunday to the final.
I kind of feel like once Toronto scores the first goal, Montreal's fight is gone. And I think I think Toronto wins and they get a clean sheet, and I'm teetering between 2-0, 3-0.
So spicy. I love it. Delicious.
I'm going to go with Montreal score first and kind of make it a bit tense. Say, what might happen? But it ends up 1-1 on the day. Toronto wins comfortably overall. But for a while there, there's going to be...
It's a little tense?
Ooh. It might be a little tense, a little... something might be happening, but it won't.
Toronto advances. So we're calling for a Toronto versus Ottawa NSL final at BMO Field a little under 2 weeks from now, which we will all be at. We are, the three of us are going to be at a soccer game together.
That's in crazy.
The year of 2025.
Anno Domini. Yes. Yes.
Craziness.
They didn't say it would happen. Well, you know what, Tony?
Who could have seen this coming? I'm very excited to be at a match with the two of you again.
Thank
Delightful.
You. It's gonna be
great.
I just hope somebody does something really jerkish so that we could let out our inner bastards.
Exactly.
In the NSL final.
Please let us be ourselves. Just, please. We don't want to be on our best behavior the whole time.
I want,
please.
You know what? maybe this would be a good time for Vancouver to win this leg, because they are an outstanding heel. Like, after
that's true.
After some of the games I've seen, it's like, oh, I don't like you at all.
That is very true. Oh, that's so funny. But then that way, oh, but if Ottawa goes, then we get to see Desi.
True.
It would be Desi's last match as a Oh, extra emphasis for Ottawa to go. Desi's last match.
I just want to see DB.
DB Pridham, absolutely.
Yeah, because she's a machine.
Yep.
And goals everybody on
goals
be on
goals. Yeah, everyone should be afraid. It's true. All right. Well, speaking of finals, Mark, I'm sorry, we have to talk about it.
Whatever.
This Sunday, which is why Ottawa and Vancouver are playing on Saturday instead of Sunday, is the CanPL final in Ottawa. Ott Leddy versus the Pink Pony Club. Sorry, what are we calling them? The Red Pony Club? What are we calling
them? Pony Club?
Red Pony Club, maybe. Something like that.
The
Red Pony Club.
Pony Boys. Yeah. That team from Calgary that we don't like.
Absolute bricks.
Who you got?
Ottawa.
Now, because you think they will win, or because you want vengeance and you don't like Calgary?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
It can be both. It can be all of the above.
Yeah.
That is an option here.
Look, I feel like if seeing both teams at their best, Calgary is not, and Ottawa is. Like, Ottawa shows up. They are good. They resilience. Like, they can claw back. They can, I mean, I've also seen them drop points near the death, but every team will do that. I just feel like if Calgary plays defensively on Sunday the same way they did this past Sunday, Ottawa's just gonna have to work a little harder. Not much more. Hamilton's not the goal scoring team that they've been in the past, and like I've even said, like, I don't even know how this team was undefeated as long as they were. Or unbeaten, sorry. But yeah, I think Ottawa is just, they're ready for the crown. If Calgary goes in, they're absolutely thieving it, and hopefully Ottawa will join me in hating them as much as I do. Cause they're shit and they're bastards. It stopped being analysis after the first thing. Actually,
it's okay. You can go straight on vibes. It's all good.
Yeah, that's Kristen, I'm a podcaster. I know how to go to vibes.
Our whole podcast is vibes. Come on now.
It stopped being facts like probably after about episode 45.
I was just gonna say, like this, you know,
this is 550. So do some math. Yeah.
Duncan, your thoughts?
I'm gonna go with Calgary. Let's embrace the heel turn. You know,
classic,
they can
Duncan.
Maybe to kind of like score and then waste a lot of time and just enrage the entire country.
Continue.
Build the narrative. Everyone likes a story.
I have a related sort of follow-up question is wrong. Related question to this.
Sure.
Because we have Tommy Wheeldon Jr. and his fabulous hair, but Diego Mejia, not a bad head of hair on him either. Who wins the shampoo contract between the two of them?
Look.
I'm asking the tough questions here.
If unlike screwing over Bobby Smyriotis for many of the years, Coach of the Years, there's been no question as to whose head of hair is miles away the most decadent, lush mane in
it's
this
true. League. He does have a mane, and Mejia just has a coif.
Like you can go to whatever hairstylist you want, sir. But look at him. Look at him. Look at him. There are girlfriends and wives of everybody in this league that looks at him and go, damn, how come I can't do that? And it's because they don't spend nearly as much time as he does in the mirror. I can't prove that, but I mean, look at that hair.
It's true.
I would want that hair. If I had that hair, I'd be a bassist, okay? I would be on stage fronting a modern rock band, not too hard, a little poppy, a little friendly, but I would be famous, like with that hair. So,
you know what? It's not too late, Mark. You could pull it off. I have faith in you.
Oh, I don't. I do not. I gave up that dream probably a couple years ago, and I really gave up the dream this year. So I'm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, enough of the hair.
If Mejia grows his hair out during the off season,
so he can't maybe win last year, or can't win this year's. He has to win next year's.
He's have to win next year. Yeah. Interesting. Fair.
Ty goes to the best hair flip. Like, and that's
like, maybe. Mm-hmm. I really don't want Calgary to win again.
Nobody should. Nobody should. There should be people in Calgary going, you know what? We are kind of assholes. Just admit to it. I've admitted many times that Forge of the Heel team, but you guys are bastards.
Well, let's pass that heel torch.
Duncan, while I understand what you're saying, I totally understand what you're saying, but I've seen this since year one.
Oh sure, yeah.
That's like now everybody's gonna see that they're bastards. But this isn't news. This isn't news. The gap between the teams I hate first and second, you could park an RV in. Okay, it's massive. It is enormous. Like I can't. Like the team I would hate the most next. I don't know, Winnipeg for mediocrity. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve the hatred. Ottawa, because they showed up in the league and are just good all the time. They don't deserve
it. Well, see, that's what I feel like. Yeah, it would be. It would.
Calgary's like dark arts light, and it's everybody, and it sucks. And who wants dark arts light? Who's going to the Guinness Brewery for you know the light Guinness? Like, no, either just be embrace your jerkness, or like stop it. But they're just, and nobody calls them on it. And I hate them so much. Come on, I'll fuck them up. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That was so fun.
I know how to pull it back. I've been on the soapbox a lot this episode and last episode. It's exhausting.
But everyone hates Calgary.
So therefore, Duncan's favorite. It's just I'm not
saying they're my favorite. I'm saying this would be a good thing for the league. Glenn, let's have a fucking team that's winning everything that everyone sort of like really hates.
For less Calgary hating reasons, although again I really don't want them to win again, I am gonna go with Ottawa because I really, really do appreciate their commitment to youth players this season and the fact that they were successful as fuck while doing it. And I think that I want to see them win in order to be like, look what you can do if you put faith in your younger players and don't just like give them lip service or, begrudgingly put them out on the pitch because you have to. You can build a successful team and win a championship
with this in 1 year. Now the seagulls, that's a whole other thing, but this, so I'm saying I'm going with Ottawa. Go Ottawa. So there.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Which is a match that I will have to try to watch from work because that's where I will be. Damn it. What time is the match? Is it 4? Or is it noon or something stupid?
That's a good question.
Don't let it be noon.
That's a good... Well, we can just go to here. That would be... I've got like everything open. 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Oh.
Yeah.
I'll still be at work, but there's a chance that it won't be as busy at that time. I might actually be able to occasionally glance at the game. Huh. That could be nice. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. I know.
Woo.
So succinct. Please join us next week when we have lots of playoff things to talk about. We're gonna discuss who wins CanPL this year, whether we'll have a new champion or whether those jerks from Calgary win again. We will discuss the NSL final. See if our predictions are correct as to who is going to advance. We will know the next round of the endless MLS playoffs. Go Nashville, go Minnesota, go Portland. And we will talk about the men's national team friendly against Ecuador, which is also here in Toronto on not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday. So yeah, we have lots to talk about. Excellent. Lots of good soccery things, mostly Canadian, which is very nice, actually.
Delightful, yes.
Thank you.
Right.
All right, I have been joined, as per usual, by these two fine gentlemen to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Yeah, hello.
On the tweet machine at Kid Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast via Patreon or even just listening. You're amazing. Thank you so much. And I am looking forward mostly to not being obligated to watch soccer for a while. I'm going to do it voluntarily. That's the difference.
That is different.
I'm going to choose to do it rather than like, oh, fuck. Okay. Forge are playing. Okay. And like, I am just football exhausted. At least when the Bella Rushton shit was on, it was like we were totally doing that for fun. That was amazing. That was
so fun.
I don't that miss really a lot was. of the pandemic, but
nope. But that
miss me some Dynamo Breast. I really do.
Yep. Same. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Christian Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.
Yeah.
Not you, Calgary.
Not you. Fuck you guys.
Oh.
Jesus.